Breaking news into ESPN. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted that Knicks forward Julius Randle will undergo season-ending surgery on his right shoulder. Randle has spent 2 months trying to rehab that injury, suffered back on January 27th against Miami. Ugh, this has been the story for the Knicks, having such a promising season, but dealing with a myriad of injuries. Another hit for Stephen A. Smith this morning. Brian Windhorst also here with us. Wendy, great to have you back with us. Monica, obviously you cover this team. Do you want me to start with Monica, or do you want to take a moment? How do you want to play this out? I'm talking to you, big time. It's like a black cat's running around the franchise. I know.
24-9, 47% shooting. OG Anunoby arrives. They got the best record in the month of January. They got an opportunity with Milwaukee looking suspect.
You're right.
Miami looking suspect at times. Joel Embiid injured.
Not the music, y'all.
Well, it is kind of sad.
They had a chance to get to the conference finals against Boston. And then this happens.
Is it a piano?
I cannot take this music.
Is this
for real.
Instrumental? Is this piano?
It's like Young and Restless. What's happening?
Oh, it's like Stephen A's theme music.
You can't make it up, man. Just go.
Oh. I am not laughing at the situation. The music has me tickled. Wendy, please say something informative about this.
So I just so that fans understand, Julius Randle was probably always going to need surgery on this injury. When you dislocate your shoulder, a lot of times you're going to need that surgery. Sometimes you can rehab to strengthen the muscles around it so that you can kind of get through a season to delay surgery so you can play. That's what he was going for. Had he had surgery immediately after this injury, he still would have been out for the rest of the season. This wasn't a situation where if he had had surgery 2 months ago, he'd have been back for the playoffs. It's a 5-month recovery timeline for this type of procedure. In fact, him having surgery now, he's not even for sure going to be able to start next season. That's how long the timeline is. So that's one thing you just need to understand. The second thing I'm going to say is, just because Julius Randle is out doesn't mean that the Knicks have no chance of making a playoff run. I think the team kind of knew for the last couple of weeks that Julius's return was not going to happen. In fact, earlier this week, Josh Hart said, look, we're operating as if Julius isn't coming back. Or he said, we're just going to assume that they're not coming back. The key thing, Stephen A., is whether OG Anunoby can come back, because he's dealing with this elbow issue. He's already had surgery. This is a reaggravation of it. They're 15-2 when OG plays. OG can fill some of the gap that Julius, they lose with Julius, and they are a very potent team with OG. So I would just say that while Randle's loss is hurtful, with these other teams in the East all having issues, the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell having issues with his knee, the issues with, you're not really sure whether Philly's going to even be able to make it into the top six. They got to win their way in. Miami has been up and down throughout the year. Milwaukee, as we know, is suspect even at the best of times. The Knicks can still make something happen here. They, if they end up with the Cavs in the first round, they've owned the Cavs the last couple of years. So I don't think this is, doom and gloom. I don't think they would beat the Celtics in a series, but I'm not sure they would have beaten them even if Randle was healthy.
Jeez, Stephen A., it's going to be all right. Listen, I tend to choose optimism, and yes, I cover this team. I'm with you, Wendy, in that OG Anunoby has the opportunity to be a difference maker. It is an interesting year in the Eastern Conference. Literally the only team that has separated themselves, as the standings have shown and as we have discussed ad nauseum, is the Boston Celtics. And so everybody otherwise is dealing with some level of injury, to your point. Jalen Brunson continues to have a masterful year. Dante DiVincenzo has the ability to light it up from behind the three-point line. Mitchell Robinson is back and is healthy. And so I think, of course, a Tom Thibodeau-led team, a Jalen Brunson-led team are not hanging their head at this point. But you do certainly have concerns about their depth. And so now you hope that the elbow does not keep OG Anunoby away too long.
Do you want a cupcake or, like, what would cheer you up right now? Snack?
You know,
I'd give you a hug, but it would turn into a meme.
Contrary to what people believe, you know, Eminem, Brian, you know, I am a nice guy. You know, I try to do the right thing.
When you're in a good mood.
I try to do the right things. You know, I love the Lord. I pray every morning. I pray every night. You know,
Every morning.
Wow. Every night. You know, I give back, you know, as best as I possibly can. I try to do so many. All I ever asked is for the Knicks.
Breathe.
It does. There's always something. Something. Damn it!
It's not over.
It's not quite over.
Do you want me to call Spike? Get him on the line so you guys can pray together?
Spike is probably worse off than me.
Yeah.
He just gonna act like it's different because he paying them season tickets. You know, but he's probably worse off than me. But let me tell you something right now. I'm aware of what the Knicks could be with OG Anunoby, with Mitchell Robinson, if both of them come back and what have you. I'm aware that they could be formidable.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, to really, really legitimately have a shot to at least get one series away from the finals, you know, you need it, Julius. And even though he's gotten on my nerves with his playoff performances from time to time, damn it, he's a workhorse. He never lets you down with effort. You know, he has his good moments. And again, he's a 24-9 player this season. And for this to happen, with as tough as the New York Knicks have looked, especially once they acquired OG Anunoby, this is a heartbreaker. It really, really. I was actually holding out hope that we would see him again, and then I said, okay, I'll pray that he won't get hurt again and the shoulder won't separate it again. I really, believe it or not, Wendy, I didn't contemplate that we'd never see him again this season. I didn't contemplate that. And maybe it was just wishful.
It's hugely disappointing. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Wendy, thank you so much for being with us and being the adult in the room. Very emotional here at the set, so we appreciate you. To the West we go now. The Suns beat the Cavs 122-101. Another impressive win. Devin Booker, KD, amazing from the field, combining for 72 points. The Suns just on the outskirts of being a play-in team, currently sixth in the West. Meanwhile, LeBron, AD helped the Lakers get their eighth win, nine games. AD led the way, 35 points, 18 rebounds. LeBron chipped in 25 points and nine assists. So both the Lakers Suns heating up at just the right time. LA averaging a league high 123 points per game over its last 10 contests. And Phoenix has been even more efficient. The Suns lead the league at 51% from the field and 43% from three-point range over that stretch. Austin Rivers joining the party. What's going on, Austin?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm always good, man. I'm just hanging in there.
All right. It's good to see you, bro.
Stephen, appreciate you guys having me as always.
Yeah,
of course. Great to have you.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, I'll start with you. Are you higher on the Suns or the Lakers heading towards the playoffs? Because they're getting hot at the right time.
I'm going to be higher on the Lakers simply because, you know, I'm still leery on the Suns and their defensive prowess in the fourth quarter. For some reason, once the fourth quarter arrives, they're not as formidable as we expected them to be this season. That's my issue with them. The big three, they haven't played every game together. And even when they played together, they only like seven games or so above 500. I expected better from them. I'm not blaming anybody for it. I don't know who definitively is to blame outside of Vogel, because you're a head coach in the National Basketball Association because of what you do schematically on the defensive side of the ball, what you did in Indiana, what you did when you got the Lakers to a championship during the COVID season. All of those things I got to look at, and I'm saying, what the hell is going on with the Phoenix Suns? Whereas I'm looking at the Los Angeles Lakers right now, LeBron is LeBron, AD is AD, but the other pieces are coming together, the D'Angelo Russells of the world, the Hachimuras of the world, and others. They're anticipating that Vanderbilt obviously is going to be back and be able to do some things for them to elevate them defensively. I look at that and look at the run that they went on last year in the postseason to the Western Conference Finals, and I'm saying, they're starting to look along those lines, like they have that capability. I'm not saying it will happen because the West is considerably stronger this year than it was last year. But they're sort of going to look like that. Phoenix, I don't know what the hell to expect from them from night to night. Unless they're going against New Orleans, I can't anticipate that Devin Booker is going to drop 50. That's about it.
Oh, man, this question stinks. Logic, I agree. The Lakers are doing some things. I think they've hit a nice spot in their schedule, and they've got a lot of home games. I just, you know, we do this every year we get into the playoffs, and the refrain somehow in the postseason continues to be what Anthony Davis is or isn't doing. And I just think if the Suns can hold, maybe get out of that play-in, the combination of Booker and KD once the clock strikes playoffs, to me, you just can't, tough, but I don't think that you can sneeze at that. And I know that we are not saying one or the other definitively in this conversation, but I do think that the Suns are finding a little bit of rhythm as of late. And I just, I still have questions about the Lakers overall, y'all. Like, it's not a super strong argument, but I'm just not ready to go in on the Lakers just yet.
Okay. Go ahead, Austin.
No, I like the Lakers. You know, listen, both teams have been inconsistent all year long. Both teams have had problems with injuries. But if we're talking about as of right now, you know, Lakers have won 8 out of the last 9. I like the way LeBron James is able to just captivate the moment and dominate. He's a guy that dominates the game, not just through scoring, but through passing. I love Book. I love Kevin Durant. But these are two guys who, you know, dominate the game through ISO basketball, which can be very difficult to win when we're talking about in the playoff series. I understand the game slows down and you need guys to make baskets. But when we talk about an overall team, I like the way the Lakers are built. D'Angelo Russell's had one of his better years as of late. You know, Austin Reeves is still playing good basketball. Anthony Davis is coming off a monster game, obviously, in D.C. You look at their scoring last night, it was spread out all throughout their starting five, all guys in double digits. They have multiple guys who can step up and hit shots. They can space the floor. They have guys who can defend. You know, the Lakers, for me, have been a team that's underachieved for a lot of this season. And, you know, right now, I feel like they're tapping in. The first year they have an in-season tournament, they go and get that. You know what I mean? So, I obviously, we don't want to see them in a play-in, but this is where we're at. Obviously, we need them to win those first two games, but if they match up with a young team like OKC or Minnesota first round, that's trouble. I mean, that is not what you want. For one of these young teams to be facing a LeBron James and a team that, for the most part, is healthy and has his cast around him, I like the Lakers a little bit over Phoenix.
Well, I think if you're Minnesota, you don't mind seeing them if Cat is back in the lineup with Gobert with the rest of the crew. I think that's a challenge you'll embrace. Oklahoma City's a different animal.
If he's back, yeah.
I don't think, Oklahoma City's a different animal. I don't think that that's something that they should want, particularly what we've seen from them over the last few days. LeBron James, since the All-Star break, nearly 27 points per game, 58% shooting from the field, 48% shooting from three-point range, 9.1 assists, 7.5 rebounds, and the Lakers, since January 1st, are an NBA best 14-3 in clutch time. So I give a lot of credit where it's due, and I'm saying to myself, if you're the Lakers, if you're rolling like that at this particular moment in time, it's very, very similar to what we saw last year.
All right, it is. It is very similar, and eventually, at some point last year, we saw them run out of gas. Everybody is pointing to the potential.
No, they didn't lose out of gas. They got their butts kicked by Denver.
Yeah, they didn't run out of gas.
They just got waxed.
Okay. They didn't get it done. All right, so they lost. My bad. However, everybody's pointing to running into the young teams. Right now, right, if you look at it right now, the Suns would play the Thunder. Do you not feel that the Suns have the experience in terms of advantage over a young team as well?
Well, you could say that, but I think that size is not that big of an issue against Phoenix for Oklahoma City as it would be against a Denver or against a Los Angeles Laker. So I think that's a matchup that Oklahoma City would welcome.
I agree with you, but I'm pointing to the conversation around the young team sitting at the top. Oklahoma City would welcome. Minnesota's potentially not running from the Lakers either, but you don't think that the experience of the Suns puts them sort of in that same tier with the Lakers in terms of being able
to. The experience of the Suns?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't think that. Listen, KD has the experience. We've seen Devin Booker in one final. We've seen them in numerous playoff series. But at the end of the day, still knocking on the door, still haven't been able to close the deal. Bradley Beal in Washington, it's been years since we've seen them in the postseason. Right, yeah. So when you're talking about that experience, I don't think that's about that much of a factor against Phoenix.
Okay. Austin?
My only issue with Phoenix is they're on two sides of the spectrum. They're either, like, really good or they crash or burn. It's like it's one or the other. It's like we see them in these games where they look dominant and they're thriving, and then there's games where they'll lose. You know, we're talking historically. They've had some Game 7s or Game 6 closeout games that have gone horrendous. I mean, we're not talking about losing by 5 or 10. We're talking about 30, 40, like just weird games. So they definitely have more experience, Monica. You know, if Phoenix matches up with the OKC, this is going to be one of the most interesting playoffs I've ever seen.
You,
I mean,
right?
we're in shape to see something special. I'm sorry about the Knicks, though. I'm sorry about the Knicks, Stephen A. That's I don't even mean to bring that up, but that's tough.
You didn't have to bring that
that's
up.
That's tough, man.
You didn't have to bring that up.
He's man, I, listen, He's I feel for hey, listen, you. I was a Knick. I was a Knick. I was
you
a Knick
were,
like a whole
Austin.
Month, but
you
listen,
were?
I still was
no
one.
Doubt.
I feel bad for Julius, man.
You're it changes
this. Ooh, oh, I'm gonna get Austin for that.
What?
By the way, I mean,
Austin's
at some point, at some point, when we
back.
Have time, at some point before this show ends, I gotta address something about LeBron James.
Oh God,
your sister. I gotta address something about LeBron James.
What? Give me a teaser. What do we have to address?
No, I won't even give you a teaser.
No, that's lame.
He was on. Will you calm down and hear my point?
Yep,
okay. Here's the deal. He was on the podcast, Mind the Game, with the one and only J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
And LeBron was revisiting his time his first year in Miami mm-hmm. and against Dallas. And, you know, he acknowledged people, because they're getting on me because of my podcast, the Stephen A. Smith Show. Oh. They were sitting up there going like, yo, you know, he acknowledged that he played bad. What are you talking about, Stephen A.? I said, wait a minute. But he also went into detail about how it was basically three max players and a bunch of minimum dudes. And what I was saying was, I don't want to hear that. You was up 2-1 in the finals. In game four, you had a grand total of 8 points. 0 points in the fourth quarter. Game five, you had 17 points. 2 points
bringing
in the fourth quarter. No. They brought it up, not me. Okay? Or what I'm saying, because you got people getting on me about it. I'm like, wait a minute now. You had – the squad was good enough to get to the finals. It was good enough for you to have a 2-1 lead. Love LeBron. He's number two. Mount Rushmore all time for me. Phenomenal. Great. The whole bit. That was not your shining moment. I don't want to hear about no damn roster. You were up 2-1 in the NBA finals and crashed and burned in the fourth quarter of the final three games. I don't want to hear about a roster.
Okay.
At that point.
You can address it. We'll let you
I just did.
Later. Oh, you're
I
done?
Just did.
Okay.
That's my point. Everybody was getting on me or whatever the case may be. Like I said, I have the last word when I want to have the last word. This was one of those moments. Wait a minute now. You ain't changing that narrative.
I just want to know, do you feel better now that you vented? Because this is a safe space here on First Take.
Well, first of all, it's always good to vent. I would know because I listen to you all the time and how much better you are after you vent. Sometimes it's 7 in the morning when you're calling about the show or whatever you're venting. Okay, so that's what you do.
I love venting how I is keep always getting a beautiful, put on blast.
Venting is always a beautiful thing. All I'm trying to say, Austin, is this. LeBron, number two all time.
Smoothie looks good.
Top Mount Rushmore, great. But damn it, I can't stand when I see people trying to change narratives. The narrative wasn't your roster. The narrative was that the fourth quarter showed up and you didn't in that series against Dallas.
Okay.
That's the narrative.
Okay, Monica and Austin,
so I'm saying,
I don't have time to let you guys respond. If you want to, when you come back, you're
you can come back
to.
And respond all you want
okay.
to.
They're coming back. But
I just want
things.
You not to yell at me. Like, look at the camera. Don't look at me.
I'm just saying. You know, like we didn't watch the fourth quarter of the final.
Okay. Take a breath. Let's take a breather.
We let you get that off your chest.
Let's all take a moment. Yeah, we did.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, the Texans making money moves. Made a statement yesterday when they traded for Stephon Diggs from the Bills. In addition to the four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, Houston acquired a 2024 sixth-round pick and a 2025 fifth-round pick selection, while Buffalo also received a 2025 second round. Diggs' time in Buffalo, mixed bag. He led the NFL in receptions during his four seasons, but despite his regular season productivity, his playoff numbers left something to be desired. Diggs had just two touchdowns in nine playoff games as a Bill, the same he's had in five postseason appearances as a Viking. You good? You all cleaned up? Were you, like, trying to distract me, or what's the deal? What's happening over here?
Oh, I didn't know you could be distracted.
Oh, my gosh. The guy's, like,
I wasn't aware.
Out of control. America, if you saw what was happening, it was...
I'm good. I'm good.
You need to go back on vacation?
No, I got a lot of stuff to do today after.
You're a little anxious.
For ESPN.
We get it.
There's more work to do.
Well, you want to make the big bucks? That's what it is. So step your game up.
Oh, I want to make the big bucks.
Stephon, you all right?
I want to make the big bucks.
Why is it like she bringing the smoke to you like
every day?
Damien, what is this all about? Why are you trying to cause friction?
I'm just making an observation.
Damien.
Thank you, Molly.
Cheers.
He's been acting up today. Somebody needs to tell him calm down a little bit.
All right, Kimberly.
Go ahead.
Help us out here. How much pressure does this trade put on Stephon Diggs to succeed in Houston?
A ton of pressure. Let me say this. I'm a big fan of Stephon Diggs. I think he is still a number one. I think he is a productive player. I think this is a great move for the Houston Texans. But here's the other part. Stephon Diggs throughout his career has made it about other people. When situations arise, it's like, I got to bounce. Like, this isn't working. Minnesota, Buffalo. Now this is, I can't find anything wrong, Damien, with this situation in Houston. We got the quarterback. We got a roster that I thought was very good last year and has been reloaded in the offseason. And we're in a division that's completely winnable. There is nothing about this scenario that should be hard for Stephon Diggs. All he has to go in there and do is catch the football, right? Make it, like, but again, even today, I don't know how this will pan out. I think it'll be great for him. But the issue with Stephon Diggs is when he had a great quarterback in Josh Allen, it still wasn't enough. There were still issues. And the whole... I defended him when he went out of Minnesota. But in Buffalo, he's on the sidelines, and he's doing all of this, and he had opportunities to squash this and say, hey, you know what? That's my bad. I dropped that ball. Mm-hmm. When things happen with him, it's, hey, man, you know, I'm competitive. You know, I just want to win. Yeah, everybody wants to win, but there's a way that you can be a number one wide receiver, do your job, and not make it about everybody else falling short.
That's not the issue for me. I think that you missed the boat on that one. Because you can act that way on the sidelines, but then show up and explain. Don't disappear for months. See, I'm saying, you brought up how he was on the sidelines. The biggest problem was that he left. He didn't do any interviews. He disappeared for months. And then he was late getting to training camp, which showed he had held on to it all that time and still hadn't let it go. So that's a bigger problem than you having a moment. You just lost the AFC Division Playoff game.
No, interviews doesn't bother me at all.
I'm not talking. Let's stay with me, Molly. It's not about that. It's about who you are. Like, for example, Jerry Jones. I go completely out of left field with this one. When the whole Colin Kaepernick situation was going down and I called out Jerry Jones, I didn't call him out for what he said. I called Jerry Jones out because he had nothing to say. Who do you? You don't get to hide now. With a camera. You always looking for the camera. Mm-hmm. Now you got to find it. Now where are you? I'm saying to you, bring Stephon Diggs into the equation. You're bringing attention to yourself complaining about your quarterback. You're complaining about the team. You're upset at what y'all are doing. And then when the game is over, you're nowhere to be found. Then after that, it's post interviews, whatever. You're nowhere to be found. Months pass. No one has seen nor heard from you. And then on top of all of that, you came into camp late. Coach McDermott said he had to reach out to you. Josh Allen said he had to reach out to you. They said y'all had to come together. So you literally, months later, We're still holding on to all of that. I'm saying to y'all, that's where it matters. Because when you're looking for the camera and the microphone to gravitate to you at other times, you can't disappear at those moments, especially when it's months later and it's still evidence that you're holding on to it. It's a real problem because you're not letting it go.
Fair, but even last season, he was in front of the camera. He was asked about Josh. He was asked about, are you good here? Yes, he was asked this offseason on various podcasts, hey, do you want to be in Buffalo? And he was like, it's not, I can't call it. I'm going to go where I'm going to go. And the microphone has been placed in front of him. It's the accountability of the, I didn't do my part. Yes, we want to show up Josh in public in broad daylight. But when the mic is in front of you, you don't say, I need to be better. My God, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's my issue. Not just the disappearing. When he is in front of a mic, too, it's about other people.
I think there's pressure, but I think it's pressure from a different perspective. See, when he went to Buffalo, it was a transition. Like, Josh Allen hadn't arrived. Yeah. He was part of that process of bringing Josh Allen along, developing with Josh Allen. That's not the case in Houston. C.J. Stroud had already arrived before you even got there.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans had already arrived before you got there. This team had already won the AFC South,
won
a playoff game at home, okay? They've already arrived. So the pressure now is, how are you going to assimilate to what's going on in Houston? Because that team was already, just like you had referenced in the first hour, a lot of people... Houston was a trendy team even before the Stephon Diggs trade. So now with everything that happened in Buffalo, how are you going to fit in Houston? Mm-hmm. To me, that's the pressure. I don't even know if he's the number one still. Nico Collins had a hell of a year down there last year with the Houston Texans. They getting Tank Dell back. He's going to be another piece to the puzzle, but he's not going to be that piece that he was with Buffalo. He's not going to be that. Okay, so I want to see from a maturity level, how are you going to fit in down there in Houston with a different type of role than with the Houston Texans and C.J. Stroud? That's the pressure I'm looking at as it relates to Stephon Diggs.
I think you bringing Stephon Diggs to the locker room, like, to me, I'm looking at him like, you're the one. Tank Dell? He was CJ's guy until he got hurt. Nico Collins, in the absence of Tank Dell, was the one. I think the Texans have the great problem of saying, we got a lot of mouths to feed here. That's a great problem. But we have seen in Buffalo, when there are a lot of mouths, where's the ball going? Is it going to Stephon? And again, big fan of Stephon Diggs, the player. However, he's gotten a lot of targets. A lot of targets have been thrown his way throughout his career in Buffalo.
And where has that gotten him?
Well, he would say...
Where has it gotten him?
He would say it
That's
wasn't
my whole
enough.
Question. It's like, okay, yeah, you've been the most prolific duo with Josh Allen.
Yes.
And ultimately, where has that gotten you? Where has that gotten you? It hasn't, like, yes, you've gotten your bag and all of that, but you haven't reached the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're with a squad and with the Houston Texans who are trending in the right direction, who are now one of these teams that should be contending with the Kansas Cities and the Baltimores. So I want to see, what is your approach going to be now moving forward?
So you think Stephon Diggs is going to go to Houston and say, hey, man, I just want to fit in, get in where I fit in, like whatever y'all need, and that's going to be okay?
I'm saying he doesn't have much of a choice at this particular point because with the stud that is the young C.J. Stroud, combined with D'Amico Ryans, if you go into – and I don't believe Stephon is going to do this. I got a lot of love for Stephon. I believe in the brother. He can ball, and I think that he's an adult. It's just that sometimes he wears his emotion on the sleeve in game. Point is this. If you go to Houston and you act up in that environment and that culture that clearly D'Amico Ryans has built, you're going to be in the spotlight because those problems would not have existed until you arrived. You're going to get blamed for it. And when that happens, then that's a different reason for them to not want you on their squad. We've seen players throughout NFL history that had a lot of game left in them that people didn't want because of the effect that they were perceived to have had on a locker room. Guys got to know that. And Stephon Diggs is the latest in that line.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Steph Curry with the shot, and the Warriors continue their push to the playoffs. They carry a 5-game win streak into tonight's matchup against the Rockets, despite Golden State maintaining the 10th seed. Steph continues to build on his legacy, averaging 26.4 points while shooting over 40% from the season. Curry's effect on the NBA can certainly be felt in how he popularized and revolutionized three-point shooting across the association. The season before he was drafted, teams averaged 18 three-point attempts per game, whereas by last season, that number had ballooned to over 34 per game.
Can we just talk about where my glasses are right now on my face? Like, why are they on my nostrils like this?
They're cute glasses, and I really want to bring, I know you wear glasses for real, yeah, but I really want to bring personality glasses back, because I sometimes want a little shade.
You should.
Well, you would, knowing you the way that you are. I mean, I don't really pay attention to Molly in glasses. I pay attention to her in hats. I'm looking for one that fits.
That was a good one, Peanut Head.
That's what it is.
Like, you know, good one.
That's right.
Okay.
You know?
Cool. Right, Let's go. I can, by the way, often by, I just ignore him.
By the way, your hair is not really combed right now, but it's okay. America is, they'll forgive you.
What are you talking about? Let's go. My hair looks great.
Let's go.
Y'all are the worst. You look great, Molly. Come on.
Thank you. Austin. You're so annoying, Stephen A. Go home. Go host the podcast, the show, the Stephen A. Smith Show. Like, why don't you mention it 8 more times? Austin, who do you think has had the biggest influence on the NBA today?
If we're talking about today, then Stephen Curry has to be that person. If we're talking historically, it starts and ends with Michael Jordan. I think we're quick to just forget about what he's done for the game. It was interesting to hear LeBron on that podcast with JJ talk about most influential and not name MJ, considering, you know, this guy still outsells anybody today's in sneaker sales for a reason. He's the most iconic player to ever play the game. If you don't know this, go watch the Dream Team documentary and you can kind of get an idea of who this guy is and what he did for the game of basketball. So much so that a guy who's the lower and like version under him would be like a Kobe Bryant, right? He's like his little brother. That's a guy who influenced the game. When I look at Devin Booker, he has Be Legendary tattooed on him. I see Jason Tatum have a Kobe Bryant Mamba tattoo on him. We talk about Mamba mentality almost every week. These are guys who changed the game. A lot of two guards emulate their game. Every good two guard we get in the NBA, we compare them to who? A Kobe Bryant. He reminds me of a Michael Jordan, a this, this, and that. That's who we compare Ant to, right? These are the guys who also pioneered the game and changed the game and had a huge influence. Now, we talk Stephen Curry, that's an impact on game in terms of playing style, three-pointers being shot. He's the greatest shooter of all time. He and Iverson are guys who are 6 foot, 6 foot two, if we're being generous. They're very obtainable to the eye. People look at those guys and say, man, I think I could do that. I think I could be that. If they could do it, I can do it. When you look at LeBron James and you look at Michael, these guys are 6'6", 6'7", freak of nature athletes, although Iverson was a freak athlete within himself, so I'm doing him a disservice there. But still, these guys, from a height standpoint, I think people saw that they could, you know, do these things. I mean, Stephen A., I think you'd probably have to agree with me. I know you're a Michael guy, but him and Kobe, for me, are guys who are left out, specifically Kobe. People always leave him out the mix. We always jump to AI because of his culture and him wearing the clothes he wears, and now we see Shea and Westbrook and all these guys do that. By the way, Adam Silver's name should be thrown in there, because if David Stern, God bless his soul, was still around, we'd probably be still wearing suits to the game. I'm not even kidding. So there's a lot that goes to why we're at where we're at now. A lot of names in that hat. But playing style, culture are two different things. You know, Iverson's more of a culture icon. Stephen Curry changed the way teams play. It's a copycat league. First, there was no room for bigs. Now, suddenly, we're seeing bigs. I watched a game the other night. I think it was the Cavs versus the Bulls. There was four centers on the court. So, you know, now that the Nuggets are winning, now we're seeing teams put an emphasis on getting centers again. It's always going to be a copycat league, up and down. We're in an era where people are shooting too many threes. We got too many guys thinking they're Stephen Curry, and they're not. There's only one of those. So, you know, he's definitely had an impact on the game. He's definitely up there on that list. I like LeBron throwing Steph on that list, but leaving Jordan out and Kobe out for me doesn't make a lot of sense. Those two guys have to be in the mix.
Go ahead, Monica.
I like the way you broke that down, Austin, because I actually hadn't thought about it like that. And to me, I didn't necessarily go straight player, but I went three-point shooting, which is obviously correlated to Steph Curry and the way that he's impacted the game. The culture versus cultural impact versus the impact of the game conversation is very, very layered. I hadn't really gone there. But anyway, I'm just going to continue to roll with Steph on this one because of the three-point shooting. I think the way that he has forced teams to look for defenders that can guard multiple positions, like, to me, he is kind of encapsulating, I don't want to say positionless, because I don't 100% believe that, but the idea that players need to have a variety of skill sets so that they can be interchangeable pieces, so to speak. Because as much as Stephen Curry technically is a point guard, many of us see him as a scorer before you see him as the traditional pass-first point guard. And so I think, to me, Steph's influence, whether you talk about specifically shooting or the interchangeability and the nature of the game being able to be played in the two-man game, guys being able to score at different positions at all three levels, I got to give a lot of credit in this conversation to Steph.
Well, listen, I agree with you, Eminem, and the breakdown that Austin gave was right on point, no doubt about that. And by the way, anybody that knows basketball is a Jordan guy, personally. Let's get that out the way right now. Anybody that knows basketball is a Jordan guy, okay? Just go ahead, go back and watch the tape, all right? But in the end, what it comes down to is this. To answer the question directly, biggest influence on NBA today. Yeah. Is Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're right about Allen Iverson and the culture part. But we're talking about today. And when we see, it's one thing when you can point to little kids in the streets and what they're trying to do in terms of shooting the three and all of this other stuff. No, you don't even have to go there. All you have to do is go to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Look
mm-hmm.
at the, you've never seen people jack up threes now. I mean, jack up threes before the way they're jacking up threes now. All right. Now, one could easily argue, Austin, you'll appreciate this along with you, Eminem. I could give credit to Mike D'Antoni.
That's
all
what
right,
I was thinking.
And Steve Nash.
Yes, you, yes.
Because obviously, you know what? 7 seconds or less, push the ball up the floor, jack up some shots, get it to the hole, or shoot the three. Don't
Absolutely.
Shoot mid-range.
No,
I don't care about the mid-range.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? I've seen this man. Listen, I know of players who literally committed a turnover and they challenged a layup on the opposite end and fouled the dude, and Mike D'Antoni summoned them over and were like this, hey, we don't do that here. We don't do that. Let them score. It quickens the pace. Mm-hmm. This is what he said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is what we're talking about, right? So you got to give them credit where credit is due. But nevertheless, we ain't never seen people as reliant on long-range bombs the way that they are now because of Steph Curry. And that's on every level. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there's no question that the biggest influence on today's NBA game is definitely Steph Curry, because you look at the NBA and they're jacking up threes
that's
all
fair.
Over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Back to the NBA, folks. The Bucks have lost four of their last five. Their last two games have been alarming. Milwaukee lost to the Wizards and Grizzlies on back-to-back nights, despite being favored by over a dozen points in both games. The Lakers may have won 8 of their last 9, but LA is currently the 9th seed in the Western Conference playoff chase. They were in the conference finals just a year ago. The Warriors, they're keeping the Lakers company in the bottom half of the Western Conference standings. Golden State is currently the 10th seed in the playoff race, 3 games ahead of the Rockets. And the Suns had big expectations after trading for Bradley Beal, but Phoenix sits in 6th place in the West. The Suns currently hold the tiebreaker over the Pelicans. That would keep them out of the play-in. Austin Rivers, where are you? Got a quick take. Okay, tell me this. Which team has been the most disappointing among the current playoff contenders?
For me, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. You look at the team right now, they've won 8 out of the last 9. Their roster does not scream 9th seed. I don't want to hear injuries or anything like that. They've had Anthony Davis for a lot of the season. He's had actually a pretty damn good season. They've had LeBron James. They have good role players. Just early on before the season started, we were talking about how the Lakers, or Rob Pelinka more specifically, had one of the best summers where he put together a team to compete. They should be way higher than this. This should be a top 5 seed, not a play-in team. I'm happy they're playing great basketball right now, but this is a team for me that is underachieved during the season. Considering their roster and what I look at, they're much better than this.
Yeah, absolutely. But they have been catching steam of late. We'll see if they can make up for it. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Jimmy Buckets was recently spotted horsing around, literally. I know you like that. The Heat guard donned a cowboy hat, rode a horse through the streets of Miami. Reasons so far are unknown. Miami host Joel Embiid and Butler's, Cowboy Carter, former team, the 76ers tonight. Philly just 1.5 games back of Miami for the 6th seed in the standings. Okay, first of all, I want to be Jimmy Butler when I grow up.
Honestly, living his
best life. I want to live in Miami, and I really want to learn to ride horses.
I don't particularly enjoy horseback riding.
I would like
camels,
a horseback ride.
Like when you go like abroad.
I have never been on a camel. I haven't been, but I would like to horseback ride.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I have nothing to say.
I mean, I probably need some land and need to change some other things in my life, but like I feel like it would be very therapeutic for me to be in nature. The animals.
Like in the beach, in the ocean, maybe. Yeah. But otherwise, pass. They stink.
Okay.
They're beautiful.
So do you want to say anything about Jimmy on the horse? Or you just want to tell me, is he the most feared player in the playoffs?
Jimmy's hilarious. Jimmy's hilarious, no doubt about it. Living his best life down there in South Beach. I ain't mad at him. 8-4 in playoff series, 2 trips to the NBA finals. A championship has still escaped playoff Jimmy, who averages 21 a game during the regular season, but goes up to 27 come playoff time. We know that when it matters most, he's going to show up. The question is it going to be enough to get them over the hump finally? It hasn't been the case yet.
So just to double down on that, because I had my team, we looked this up the other day. The last 3 seasons, right? Miami, Eastern Conference Finals run. They made the finals. And then, of course, this season. In the month of April, before we even get to the playoffs, the Jimmy Butler rev up. He ups his productivity to almost 31 points per game and shooting close to 60% from the field in the last 3 seasons. That's jumping from around like 22, 23, just in the month of April. So the rev up is real in terms of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's tough to isolate this question from star and team, but it's just the combination of Jimmy, team culture, guys getting healthy, and the way that they just find diamonds in the rough.
I love the pickup of Terry Rozier. I've always been a fan of Terry Rozier, and I loved him when he was in Boston. Obviously, I discount his time in Charlotte because that can contaminate anybody. But now that he's in Miami, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So props to him, and we'll see what they're ready. And him and Tyler Herro, if they ain't ready for the playoffs, it'd be a good thing.
Where'd you ride a camel?
Dubai. And I did it in Jordan, too. But real quick, if you have a chance to go to Petra and Jordan ever, one of the wonders of the world.
You've been to Dubai and Jordan?
It's amazing. The Terry Rozier told me when right after the trade, we had a game in Miami, and he said he was so excited about the opportunity to compete for a team that competes for championships. Like, he just savored that, and he's making the most of it.
I appreciate you getting us back to basketball instead of being distracted by her plans and her fantasies and all of that stuff.
Right now.
Oh, whatever.